She loves Chanel CC, designer belt GG, house full of models GG. How many bottles plenty? How many hating many? Run it up, 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 run up a check. Chilling with hoes, I'm smashing the friend and I'm smashing the next. She said she love it, I do it the best.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to another episode of A Little Kiss and Tell. This is your girl, Moneybags, and I have my co-host here with me today.
Hey, y'all, what's up? It is your girl, Ashley Nicole. What's doing? What's going on?
And you know who it is, your boy, your majesty, aka JC. What's going on?
And we have, I'm excited about this guest today, y'all.
Yes.
Let me start there. We have Tyomi on here, and she is a certified sexologist.
And authentic
tantra practitioner and international pleasure coach. I love it, girl. You got a whole resume here. So I'm going to let you plug yourself. Feel free to share like any social media handles, plug any businesses that you got going on.
So if you want to find me online, you can easily just put Tyomi into Google and you will find so many of my articles and websites. But you can follow me on Instagram at Real Glamazon Tyomi and on my sex education blog site, glamerotica101.com, and its YouTube channel underneath the same name, youtube.com/glamerotica101. And I have been working in the sex industry as a sex educator, as a sex writer, influencer, a multi-hyphenate in this space, really, producer. I'm an advocate for about 10 years now, and it has been amazing, but also quite challenging because in a world where like technology is advancing, it seems like human rights and all the things that just comes to us being human aren't progressing much. And so even though I've seen things open up a lot as a sex expert, it just seems like things are kind of regressing. But I've had a great time over the last 10 years, being on a bunch of podcasts and TV shows, and just like anyone who will listen and have open conversations about sex. I've definitely jumped on the platforms because it's my belief that if we can just normalize the conversation, then that's a big part of, you know, moving sex out of this taboo area. So I'm excited to have this conversation with y'all today and chat it up.
I love it. Thank you. We are excited to have you here. I have so many questions for you. So I hope
okay, I'm ready to answer.
It was the intro for me, though. It was the intro, like.
Okay.
Let me not fail to mention. Hold on, I gotta say this. I am the cowgirl trainer. I am the dick assassin trainer.
Yes.
I'm the founder of the Cowgirl Workout, the only holistic fitness program designed to teach people with vaginas, people who identify as women, how to stroke back. I am a firm believer that when it is our turn, no matter how long it is, when it's our turn, we need to match that stamina. And even when we are on the bottom in the passive position, we should be stroking back. So I train people with vaginas how to get their stroke proper. And I have to say that you can find me at thecowgirlworkout.com. Join for 30 days free. It's a whole tribe and community. It's like our own Facebook, but it's a sister tribe and we work out, and the workout is sexy. So come sweat with me. All right. And come learn how to slay some dicks. All right. Let's go.
Ooh. I love that. Let's go.
Just play for me, baby.
We're about to try this class out, Miss Ashley Nicole.
Hey, I
come on. Come on.
Okay, so we start off with the sex position of the day is the propeller. It says the propeller can be tricky for most men, especially if you're not completely relaxed and agile. The woman lays on her back while the man is on top in the opposite direction. So he's basically looking at her feet and he's on top of her. And make slow circular movements. Now I feel like you really got to be packing to do this move, because how is his thing gonna reach?
Oh wait, so he on top of her?
And right. the shape too, you know, certain right. penises in that, like in that position might yeah. not bend to fit the entrance, especially right. being so flat, like you got to lift yeah. the pelvis up. So it's good to attempt it, but if it doesn't fit or work, don't freak out about it.
Right, that's a weird one, y'all. Like, I don't
everything know. Ain't for everybody.
Yeah, that ain't for everybody. And I don't think it's for me.
Okay, so
I like being adventurous. I mean, I like at least trying it. If it doesn't work, be like, all right, let's go to our regular go-to to get back in the groove.
I love it. Try everything once at least. Listen. Okay, so we like to start off with the icebreaker game to get everybody loose before we jump into the topic. So I'm going to kick it over to Miss Ashley Nicole.
I'm going to ask you guys a question. And when I ask the question, if you've done it, let's take a sip, okay?
Oh, let me stop drinking.
All right.
Okay. Here we
go. I had it again.
So sip if you've gotten drunk and had sex with someone you shouldn't have.
Oh, let me sip. Okay, everybody's sipping.
We're all sipping.
Oh.
If you left the house saying you're not gonna have sex and you did it anyway.
Ooh, I'm sipping. Three, okay.
All the ladies. Okay.
Okay. You imagine, you mean to tell me you ain't never left the house?
Never left the house saying I wasn't gonna have sex and had it. Really? But once again, I remember I never really had like a whole phase. I've always been in relationships for the most part.
Okay. So if you if being a hoe doesn't bother you, take a sip.
Oh,
I'm the only one didn't sip. It would
bother Miss Ashley Nicole didn't sip. Depending on what the what do you qualify as a hoe? Right. I mean, we've had our whole phase before, so I don't think.
I feel like it depends on how you take it. Like, I feel like you can, just like how the term bitch, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people take that as empowerment. Empower the word hoe, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm that hoe, you know what I'm saying?
That hoe, I love that.
Hoe gonna make, you gonna, it's gonna mean whatever you want it to mean, you know?
Exactly.
Okay, so wait, if you've had a hoe phase, take a sip.
What's okay. a phase?
Like a time frame, like a span of time that you
Yeah.
I guess it depends on the definition of hoe when.
Well, we all took a sip except for.
I feel like I'm still like exploring and in this is just my lifestyle. So I don't know.
Are you single, Tayomi? Are you in a relationship?
I am single and I have relationships, but they're not like committed romantic partnerships. So yeah.
I love it. Are you like practicing a different type of style when it comes to?
I'm polyamorous and like a lot of my relationships are queer platonic. So they're platonic friendships, but we have sex or like we do things that are romantic. But it's just a friendship. And so a lot of people don't understand that, but I'm like, I'm comfortable in this space right now.
Exactly.
Let me ask you, how do people that you're in that space with, how do they react to what you do for a profession?
A lot of them have known me even before I started working as a sexpert. So they're just like, we love you. We support whatever you do. You know what I mean? And it's usually new people who find out that I'm meeting, they kind of still don't understand what it is. So they're just kind of like, okay, that's great. I mean, if you are doing something that's helping people, then all right, go for it. I haven't really met many people that had an issue with what I do. If anything, they're very inquisitive about it, or they might make an assumption that I'm going to have sex with them the first night or something like that. And I just be like, nah, that's not what that means. But I mean, if you want to hire me for some classes, services, whatever, here's my card.
I love it.
Because that was definitely going to be my question. I was going to say, how many people have you had to set straight? You know what I'm saying?
Oh my gosh, so many people. And honestly, I don't even mention that I'm a sexpert when I meet people because I'm a multi-hyphenate as a creative. So I can pick any several of the things that I do and say, this is what I do. And it's true. Right. And then as I start digging, I'm like, well, let me answer the questions. If I say I'm a writer, which is true, it'd be like, oh, what do you write about? I write about sex.
Then you're like, oh, well, let's get back to this topic.
Exactly. Like, there's no way around it. So eventually they find out, but you know, I have to set people straight and set boundaries because, man, people would just be jumping real quick, like just literally today at the Whole Foods. I met somebody who literally married me in his mind within 2 hours. And I was like, but he didn't even know what I did. Like, he doesn't even know that I'm a sexpert. Just off the energy, I was like, sir.
Oh, he liked what he saw and felt on it.
He said, did you feel it when we were sitting next to each other that we could be together? I was like,
wow.
Right. But you do have like this, you have this very like free and easy, I want to get to know you type of energy. And I think some people could take that as sexual when you don't even have to cross that. If you just want to get to know me as a person, hey, we could be cool.
Yes. And as an adult who is a sexually active being, I bring up sex as a topic of discussion. If it is consented, you know, I'm not just going, you know, I always ease it in with like gentle topics first before we get personal, but we should be talking about sex if we are sexually active and adults, you know. True. This should be a regular part of our conversation. It shouldn't be something that's reserved for a certain type of relationship, or I feel like there is a time and a place for it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are in public, try to, you know, you don't want to be screaming to the top of your lungs, but you can have a conversation about sex with your friends at brunch or whatever. I think that's appropriate. We're all adults. As long as it's not loud enough for other people who didn't consent to, like, you know, be in the conversation and can overhear.
Right.
You know what? I feel like more people should be more open to being able to talk about sex. I feel like sex is something people want to whisper or not talk about, right, and dance around. But I mean, it's life, it's how we create life. So, like, enjoy it.
And that's why I do this podcast. So that's so funny to talk about it more, because we do not really talk about it in the Black community. So,
and isn't that crazy? Like, we're advancing in so many ways, but when it comes to sex, we still aren't addressing this. It's a whole deep conversation around generational trauma and the lack of therapy and oppression. Deep down a whole spiral, you know what I mean? But I feel like, you know, this right here, just us joining together and having this conversation, and it's broadcasting out to hundreds of thousands of people, like, this is a part of us doing that work now. So shout out to you for starting this podcast.
Right. Thank you.
Good one.
What you got next?
So, Sip, if you blackmail someone for money.
If you blackmail?
Yeah. Nobody's done that.
No.
And we all lame for that, right?
Listen, it's just too much tied to blackmail.
Okay.
Like, after that money is paid, there is no protection against what somebody will do to you after they paid that money.
Okay, like, that's crazy. Okay, so Sip, if you had sex with your friend's parent.
Whoa.
That's a big one.
Okay. No, I haven't. No, I haven't.
None of their parents are protective anyway.
But why the... Right? I ain't gonna even hold you. I got a friend, her daddy looks so good, but I just came across that line because he her daddy.
Yeah. I was gonna say now. I can sip if I want to have, if I would have sex with one of my friend's parents, I sip to that.
Oh, they got some fine parents.
Yes. I have not seen all of my friend's parents, so I don't know.
But. Right. Okay, sip if you left someone whose money dried up.
Okay, Ashley Nicole. Okay, and your majesty. Oh, I did. I was in middle school, though.
It don't matter.
It don't matter. It didn't say what age in life, what step you was.
It didn't. I sit. Okay. One more.
One more. Let me make this one good.
Make it juicy.
No, I haven't either, because I can't have my own. Okay, sip if you cheated first.
In your business.
All right, y'all. So you know it's in your business. So y'all have heard all of the headlines about Mr. Jussie Smollett. You know, it's so many mixed reviews on, you know, his guilty verdict and everything. But of course, but he actually got time, 160 days. And I don't even think he served 4 days. I think everybody was on his side, hashtag Jussie Smollett. And so I just want to, you know, talk to my co-host and of course you, you listeners, just to like, what do you all, how do y'all feel about that? Because my verdict, I feel he did, I mean, he lied. Like, whether LGBTQ, whatever, he's Black or whatever, he lied. Like, he was proven that he was a liar. So he deserved to serve some time. I don't think it should have been that much of, you know, so many days, but I think he deserved to at least some probation, something just to like, you know, don't do things like that. So I want to just ask my co-host, like, what do y'all feel about the whole Jussie Smollett situation?
Oh, personally, I feel like this. Everybody has to do their time for the crime that they commit. If you lied and there's a penalty, then do your time. We basically are telling society that it's okay to do a crime and then end up, you know, not serving your time. And I don't think it's fair.
And that's only if they rich. Because I feel like anytime it's a celebrity that gets in some trouble or some shit, and a normal citizen that would get in the same type of trouble, like, they always side with the celebrity and give them a lesser time to serve. Or they pay their way through it, you know? And that sucks.
My opinion's a little biased because I feel like, yeah, I mean, like, don't do things, of course, don't break the law. However, it shows that if he was a white man, it would be a completely different consideration. And that's how I'm viewing it. If you don't even go back, what, a full year when all that happened with those white folks trying to take over the fucking, like, a government building, federal building, yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Half of those people are still walking free. If you go back a little bit further than that, to that little white guy, that 16-year-old that went through a crowd and killed people,
oh, he's still walking,
around. Yeah. He's still walking around free. So my whole thing is that, like, I want a system that's going to be fair with everyone. That's what I want. I don't want it to be based upon, oh, he's Black and a celebrity. Let's teach them all a lesson to keep them in line. Because at that point, it just pretty much just takes us back to the time where they used to whip a nigga, you know, to try to show everybody else that we're in charge. We fight folks are in charge. So that's my view on it.
And also, just to conclude, like, I just feel as if with him having to go to Cook County, Cook County is the worst domestic prisons in the state, in the United States. Mm. And so it's just for him to do a nonviolent crime, that's where it kind of got a little crazy for, I mean, it was a nonviolent, send him to the feds where he could have had a cell phone and ate caviar and did all of that shit. They sent this motherfucker to Cook County where it's some of them Southside Chicago niggas that are in Cook County. So I don't think that matched. And I think it was some biasness against that. And so I'm glad he's free, but I just want him to take acknowledgement of what you did.
Cause he's still saying it.
Yeah. He's holding up the fist and you are not on Empire. He was giving me a whole scene. I was like, insane. Like, motherfucker, like, just to take it, like, he missed some reading lines and shit, but I just feel as if to conclude, he just needs to just take acknowledgement and just grow from it, and, you know, I mean, he ain't canceled, you know, just don't do that shit again. Yeah. You making it hard for the next nigga, when it does happen, they're gonna get a side eye,
right?
You know, so it's, you know. I don't know.
I definitely agree with that because I feel like he doesn't recognize how much money actually went into everything that he said. And you know what I'm saying? Them investigating and them putting cops out and doing this and doing that. Like, that takes money out not only from, you know what I'm saying, from the state, but from the taxpayers, which is us. So I think that's why a lot of people are so upset.
Yeah, and it's, and that Chirac too. Shit, they could have been helping some other motherfuckers actually getting assaulted and killed.
Right.
You know, yeah. You know, that's Chirac now. That's, you know, I'm sure. Shonda, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's Sunday. I got to speak in tongues.
Praise them. Give them some praise.
Okay. So back to today's topic.
I want to know this one. Sip, if you posted a thirst trap video online.
Oh, what? My whole,
I'm sipping too.
My whole, like, Instagram prior to all the terms and condition changes and community guidelines.
Right. All right.
Thirst traps are fun.
They are.
It's more like going fishing.
Yes, exactly.
I love that shit. You throw it out, you see what comes back, you be like, throw them back. Some of them you keep, you be like, ooh, hey.
You be like, okay, got them. The next one. And the rest of them, you be like, nah, that wasn't the catch.
Exactly.
The ones that be the boldest that respond, though, be the ones that you don't want.
That you don't want.
Don't
see,
want.
My sister put me on game. She was like, just go through and look at who's seen your posts. Because yes. They be lurking. I was like,
I see a lot of lurkers. And I'd be like, yeah, I know you see it.
Yep. that definitely be me on my timeline.
Oh my God. Okay. So let's get into today's topic. So I want to start off. We're basically going to talk about mind-blowing sex. We're going to talk about foreplay, seduction, our little bedroom questions and whatnot, tips that you may have using toys versus men that don't want to use toys. So to kick it off, I want to ask, is it mostly about the seduction and foreplay, or would you say, well, I think, well, I'm gonna let you answer, but do you think seduction and foreplay should go hand in hand when it comes to great sex or mind-blowing sex?
I mean, seduction can be foreplay, you know what I mean? And seduction is like the art of tease as well. It's knowing you're alluring and then playing with that and like baiting this person or like getting them to draw into you, but then also keeping them at a distance. So it's slowly building up the arousal and the anticipation for whatever comes next. And you don't know what's going to come next because this person knows how to play, you know, play up that seduction. So I think people look at foreplay as like a set of things that you do before the main event and not realizing that literally sex is happening the whole time. It's just different phases of sex. And penetration isn't the only form of sex. It's just one form. And so, and penetration is the part where you can experience a multitude of orgasms, you know, deep energetic exchange between you and your partner. You can come together to manifest using your energy. You can create babies. You know, there's so many things that can happen with penetrative sex. But there are a lot of us out here who are sapiosexuals, right? We're people who are aroused by the use of intellect. And so if you're having a conversation with somebody and it's just like mentally stimulating you, you're already aroused. And so your body may be at like a level 1 or 2 during this conversation. And so if you think of like our arousal scale, it goes through phases. And we have multiple peaks. And the thing is about people who have vaginas, we literally are multi-orgasmic naturally. People with penises, you have the ability to be multi-orgasmic, but it's through practice. So think about if you're literally going throughout your day and you're being stimulated sensually through your 5 senses, you're being turned on by like what you're hearing, what your partner's saying to you. You know, let's say you had dinner, you got all your favorite foods, that's pleasing you. You had a little bit of wine, so you're feeling good. The conversation was stimulating you. So by the time you even get to the bedroom, Now it's like your body is turned on and electrified. Take a bath together or a shower to get clean so you can lick and suck everything. You know what I mean? And then
listen,
as melanated people, we need oil. You know, oil the body up. I'm going to advocate for us to oil up our skin. Okay.
Okay.
Get moisturized after the shower, and that body-to-body contact and massaging each other. It's like you're stimulating the skin, you're stimulating erogenous zones, nipples, the belly's an erogenous zone, believe it or not, feet, hands, everything. And then the penetration, you know, and that's mind-blowing sex, when all of your senses are stimulated, when you're completely relaxed, you're completely connected with that person, you feel safe with them, and every part of your body is stimulated and turned on. People be wanting to rush it.
Yes.
Everything about our society wants us to rush it. Everything is popcorn, microwave, quick. Look at Instagram and like just social media in general, right? Everything is quick. Everything is a moment now.
Yep.
Sex, if you want mind-blowing sex, you can't rush it. And I don't know about y'all, but I've definitely had experiences where like I did bait somebody from the thirst trap. And we went back and forth online for a long time. We finally met. And when we met, it was like...
trash.
Oh, it was good?
It was good.
Good. Okay.
Yeah, I've had good experience and some trash experiences too. Don't get me wrong. But speaking on the ones that were good, it was like just that drawing out of the seduction over time. It was just like, whew, yes. And over time doesn't even mean like months or like weeks. It could just be a few hours. You can connect in that way, and sex just be off the chain.
Ooh, I love it. I love when you said to the whole body. I be saying that on here. Men, all men are not doing that. So that is lovely.
They aren't, and that's crazy.
They just want to get to the bottom. They just want to get to the bottom of the pussy. That's it. Right. And it's like, more than that.
Listen, your whole description just took me all the way back to like the first time like I actually like had sex with a female, then the first time I had sex with a male. Like it's just like it's this electricity that like shocks you. Like you almost be like scared, but you're like really into it.
Right.
Bro. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. You mentally took me somewhere, and I appreciate that.
I need it ASAP. Okay, so what would you say are some good sex positions like for hitting the G spot, K spot within a female? Like, do you feel like it's a certain position that can get you there, or?
So with the G spot, it's on the front wall of the vagina, about 2 inches in. There is a lot of like science coming out right now saying that the G spot doesn't even exist, that it's just a zone and not an actual, you know, like body part. But this zone, this area is about 2 inches in on the front wall of the vagina. And positions like rear entry positions can hit the G spot. Also missionary positions where you're just using shallow entry. So you're not going all the way deep. You're just inserting about 3 inches in, and also curving the stroke upward towards the front of the body. And if you tilt the pelvis up a bit, you can also reach that spot as well. So shallow penetration is it, because it's only 2 inches in on the front wall. So if you're trying to go deep near like the C spot, which is the cervix, or the A and the P spots, you're going to completely miss it. Now, I would say like one of the best ways to find it is when you're really aroused. If it's like, if you're not that aroused and penetration happens, you're really not going to find it. So after you've, you know, done your foreplay, or you've extended your foreplay into like making out or whatever, you've, you know, oral sex, however you get yourself aroused before penetration, by the time you get there, you should be able to find that spot. And, you know, the thing is, for some women, the G spot is like a trauma area. And so it might not feel comfortable pressing on that spot initially, but there is training that women can do using G-spot wands and also tantric practices that can help with releasing the trauma and tension in that area. So finding it's going to be, you know, like an exploration. And I always say it's good for people with vaginas to explore their own bodies and find that area for themselves first. And it's a part of the urethral sponge, which is a bed of erectile tissue that surrounds the urethra. So you're essentially stimulating this erectile tissue, and it can create some amazing orgasms, squirting orgasms too.
That's what I want to talk about too now. How do you squirt?
So
I know they say relax, breathe through it. I'm like, I'm doing all of that.
It's interesting because I've been seeing some things in the sex sphere around this and saying that, squirting comes from the Skene's gland, and some people don't have Skene's glands. So that may be an indication that not everyone can squirt, but from my understanding and my knowledge, squirting happens, or like the fluid comes from the bladder, and female ejaculation, which is, that comes from the Skene's gland, and it's a stickier substance. It's not as copious as squirting. Because like when you squirt, it can be a few drops to like a whole pint of fluid, just depending on, you know, the flow. And so I'm always kind of like, because it's, I hear people saying it's from the Skene's gland, and from what I've studied, it's female ejaculation is from the Skene's gland and squirting is from the urethra. But relaxation is key, and also your pelvic floor. So the thing is, people are always like, oh, it feels like I want to pee. You know, it feels like I have to pee in that moment. And when that feeling comes over you, you have to bear down. And in bearing down, you're basically pushing on the pelvic floor to push the fluid out. So sometimes, you know, the pelvic floor may not be as flexible, maybe overly tight, or it may be a little weak, where you don't have control over being able to push out the ejaculate instead of keeping it in. So relaxation definitely has a lot to do with it, as far as like your physical body being in a relaxed state, your mind being in a relaxed state. Cause like, it's nothing worse than somebody who wants to see you squirt and they just be trying to champion it on, like, come on, squirt for me now. Come on, baby, let's go. Like, squirt for me. I want to fill it in my mouth. Come on, just squirt. Like, what the fuck, shut up. Like, be chasing the squirt away. I'd be like,
it's gone. It was crazy. Like, I've never squirted. But I just feel like squirting is just gonna be me peeing all over the bed.
But you know what? I'm gonna say this.
Pee.
This is the thing. When you have a barrier down, it makes you less apprehensive about allowing your body to do what it's gonna do. You know, that's always been my motto. It's like, if you're having sex and something comes out of your body, let it come out. Because otherwise, you're literally going to shift your energy out of being in the moment and focusing too much on what your body is producing. Now, I will say this. If blood appears, that is definitely a hard stop. Unless you're having period sex and it's fair game.
I keep cold face. I can't wait.
That's that saying. Like, stop.
But I feel you with feeling like you're gonna pee on the bed, because like, as someone who squirts, it does feel that way. For a long time, I was holding it back because it's a mess to clean up, or you don't want to sleep in the wet spot. You know, it don't always when it's regular sheets, it don't always dry quick enough for when you're ready to go to sleep. So I literally invested in blankets. Squirt blankets, because I'm like, well,
I like it. Nice.
Nice and safe. I don't want to reserve my orgasm with the squirt, trying to hold it back. I'm like, God, it feels like I get congested, you know?
Let it out, ladies. Let it out. All right. So I got a question. So there's a lot of conversation, especially like for people whenever like either wanting to be like sexually active, or if they're trying to get into a relationship, they typically want to know, what's your number? how many people you slept with, how many people you've been with. From your standpoint, is there a right or a wrong answer on how many people you've been sexually active with?
There is no right or wrong answer. The concept of counting bodies was a way to police how women express their sexuality. And I think it stems from just this idea around STIs and what it means if you have an STI. Listen, y'all, all you have to do is get tested, know your status, and all STIs are treatable. And it's literally a part of life. If you're a sexually active person, it's no different than catching COVID, catching the cold, catching the flu. Just so happens that there are things that we pass through our fluids when we are sexually active, and that's what it is. But there's a stigma around it. And so it's this idea that if you have less bodies, you're cleaner in some kind of way, or your body parts are less stressed out. And that's only applied to women. It's not applied to men or people with penises. But you know, there's no way that one of the strongest organs of in human existence can be stretched out by a dick alone. No matter how many dicks or how or the you know amount of times you've had sex with the same dick, the vagina is not going to be ruined from that. But what the pelvic floor and elasticity can be, you know, damaged by is trauma, and that trauma can come from birth. It can come from sexual assault. It can come from a lack of using the vagina, atrophy, a lack of pelvic floor strengthening. But there is an idea that if you have a certain amount of people that you've had sex with, somehow you are an unfit person, you are foul, you are not clean, you are not to be trusted, you can't be in a relationship with that person, no one will love you because you have so many bodies. And I'm just like, I don't know who came up with that, but that's...
I don't know who came up with that
either. And hey, I don't mind if a person's like, hey, I want to know who's in your sexual network because those people affect me too. Kind of a situation, I get that. But if you're using the number count to shame somebody for their sexual experiences and how they choose to live their life, that's not loving. I get it if you want to know about the sexual network. Then that means instead of counting bodies, what you're going to be asking for is a person's sexual health status. How often are you getting tested? Because it's like, okay, if you have sex with four people in a week, well, how often are you getting tested? And what's your current status now? That's what should matter more than how many bodies you have. But that's not the conversation that we're having. That's why STIs are literally endemic here in the United States. Like we do, they're on the rise. And we've been paying so much attention to COVID that we forgot about STIs. So people stopped getting tested because we stopped going outside for a while, you know? So everybody's back outside now, you know, masks have been lifted, no more vaccine mandates. So I'm just saying this summer, y'all, do your due diligence, have your fun, but use barriers. And if you're not gonna use condoms, then ask for that status. And if you don't ask for it, go get tested.
Yeah, I love that.
No shame, get it how you live, but be healthy. And I'm gonna say this too, being healthy does not mean that you don't live with an STI, because there are people living with HIV, HPV, Hep C, herpes, you know, and healthy, but they know what they're living with and they know what they need to do to take care of themselves and to treat their conditions. And they're honest with their partners about what they're living with. So, you know, no shame. If you live with an STI, you can still have a healthy sex life. It's all about disclosure when you feel safe to. And we need to push that more, because we're not doing that in our community. And ain't nothing wrong with being a freak and enjoying sex. But we want to do it where everybody is safe, y'all. Like, it's really simple. Just know that status and get tested.
So with you saying there's nothing wrong with everyone being a freak, what are your thoughts on using toys in the bedroom? If you're male, or like if it's male, female, or female, male, not same sex.
Listen, it's interesting to me because the only toys that get flack in the bedroom are vibrators. because we talk about whips, chains, handcuffs, and everybody like, ooh, I want to try that, you know? But when it's a vibrator, it's like, oh, hell no, it's outperforming me. I can't make you squirt right, in 2 seconds. Cool. Fuck that rose.
And, right, making the rose now.
And it's so funny to me because I'm like, if you understood our anatomy, you would understand why toys are your ally and friend. The reason why, so it's this, I've been following this vagina doctor on Instagram and she's amazing. And she talks about like the pelvic floor a lot. And she talks about how, you know, women brag all the time about tight pussy, not understanding what tight pussy really means. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's good pussy. It might mean that your pelvic floor is overly tight. And if your vagina is tight, your cervix hasn't receded back towards the uterus. It hasn't ballooned yet. The vagina actually balloons and opens up and moves closer to the cervix. Excuse me, the cervix moves closer towards the uterus and everything extends and expands when you're aroused. So a lot of times, you know, women aren't really aroused and ready for penetration, but it's getting forced into like, oh, you're so tight. Oh my God, not ready yet. A toy is is actually going to lessen the amount of time spent in the arousal phase, which I don't condone like rushing anything, but the toy helps to like, you know, speed things along a bit, but also it provides the exact stimulation that is needed to experience orgasm and to feel 100% turned on and aroused. The main thing about female bodies, or excuse me, bodies that have clitorises, right? It's an internal erectile tissue. So female bodies have erectile tissue, just like male bodies do. And that erectile tissue has to be fully erected or engorged in order for orgasms to be experienced and for the body to be completely turned on. So sex toys help to penetrate deep into the pelvis and wake that tissue up and bring more blood there. So that type of stimulation is like, okay, you can do that too as a human being. It's just gonna take more time. And a lot of times, you know, men are like, yo, I'm just trying to get in right now because you have an erection right now. You don't want it to go down. But you're not realizing the time that it takes for a penis to be ready and a vagina to be ready. It's two different time frames.
Exactly.
So toys, literally, if you're trying to like get it on and get it in, use a toy in combination with kissing and caressing and sucking on nipples and, you know, massaging the entrance of the vagina. See, the thing is, it's like, y'all don't even be trying to get her prepped up. Nothing. Like, because let me tell you what I hate. I hate the push in. Like, you trying to push in to the lips and you dragging the lips and they're not even wet yet because it's not even aroused. And the thing is, if you just massage the entrance of the vagina, there's the Bartholin glands right there on both sides of the opening of the vagina. Those glands create lubrication and it lubricates the entrance so that it reduces friction. The entrance of the vagina is a trauma spot. You know, when women who have had babies, like the crowning of the baby.
About to use the example and say that makes sense as to why the doctors take their fingers and they're massaging you like right there. And like when you're going into labor or when you're crowning, like that makes so much, I never really put two and two together.
And to think about it, when you massage the opening of the vagina, you also help to encourage more elasticity of the area because you're bringing blood to the area. So it's helping those tissues like remain healthy and flexible. So then when you do give birth, there's less chances of a natural tearing. Sometimes doctors will just cut from the opening, from the lower opening through the perineum to like, you know, ease the baby out or whatever. And then there's like a stitch that's put there. I think they call it the husband stitch because something that doctors would do, and I think it's like an illegal practice, but they would overstitch that area to try to make the opening of the vagina tight, but it would be very painful for women. Yeah, so like,
my God.
You gotta prep the vagina before you try to go in there, but toys help you do that. And listen, two toys that will get you there. Clitoral stimulators, okay? Whether it's a suction or it's one of the flickers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm gonna try my rolls with it.
Excuse me.
It's all right. That was that wine. I see it.
Listen.
You spend out knowledge, baby. That's all.
You should try with the rose, though. I'm saying, like,
ooh, I can't wait.
Because think about it.
What position with the rose you think? Like from the back or?
Well, I mean, I would try missionary.
Okay.
With the legs and like the happy baby pose, you know, like that.
Oh yeah. Okay. Okay.
So that way, you know,
DTP,
yes, because everything is like
our listeners can understand, and you know, we based in the ATL, so DTP.
Oh, okay, DTP sign, yes, DTP sign.
Yes.
And from the back, so now from the back will depend on the length of your arms.
Okay.
Or you could have him control it. If he can reach around. So, you know, you just gotta, if you're really good at balancing yourself on and being face down, ass up on one shoulder, then you could totally try it from, yeah.
Now you good at that. I know money. Come on now.
Oh, girl, listen.
You can have it from the side with your legs together, and you can have it like, so it's like positioned like a T. He's here, you're here, and you have it between your legs, so your thighs are holding it together on the clit while he's stroking. So then you can stimulate nipples and whatever.
I revisit the rose then, because I didn't
I'm saying, because it's small enough to fit between your thighs, and your thighs can hold it together if you're doing any type of like side sex or even like the plank position. From the back, so you're lying on your stomach, he's behind you, so you will be lying flat, and it'll be between. Just saying, try it. Let me know how it works.
I'm gonna try all of that out as soon as I get my little partner out. Listen, I need somebody. I want to talk about the do's and the don'ts in the bedroom.
Ooh,
for both male and female.
So I'm gonna start with unisex first.
Okay.
Do communicate, because communication doesn't mean it always has to be in the moment. So I'm gonna give examples of like in the moment and just in general. In general, check in with your partner. To assume that your partner is into the same thing that they were into yesterday is thinking that hair isn't gonna grow. You know, and let me not say that, because Jesus. Okay, never mind. Anyway, it's like thinking like you get what I'm saying. Like you're going to change. That's a part of life. That is a universal principle. So sex is fluid and is going to shift and change at all times. So check in with your partner and see if they're still into the same things. That means having conversations about sex outside of the bedroom. So going back to what we said earlier, like incorporating this into your everyday life. And then in the bedroom, like when things are happening, be unafraid to speak up and just make suggestions on how to change things when it's not really working. Because, you know, we get so afraid of being out of the moment or throwing somebody out of their element. And look, you have time. Take your time. You can take a break, take a pause on the play, regroup, figure it out, do some deep breaths, and get back into the sex. You don't have to try to keep going if something wasn't feeling good or if you need to make an adjustment. Because sometimes for some people, making adjustments might throw them completely off. Take the moment to just like cuddle, eye gaze, just have a conversation, breathe together, and then jump back in. You know, this is a time of play for you. So think of it like that. Especially when stuff does not feel good to one person, but the other person may be into it. You can either non-verbally communicate by just shifting your body or shifting that person, Or it can just be as simple as, can you shift that way a little bit? You know, or shift that way. However you want to say it, just give a direction instead of giving a judgment. Because if you say, that don't feel good, of course that's going to throw things off, you know?
But what if instead of giving the direction, you kind of like move them to the direction?
Exactly, moving them. So that's nonverbal communication. Your body language is everything. Because sometimes you might not want to speak. You know, like in sex, sometimes I'm so focused on my breath that I'm like, you're not going to hear me for a minute. I'm just trying to breathe and like feel into this and just like maneuver myself in a position where it feels good for me. So when your partner is moving, don't think of it as, oh, you trying to get out of this, so you squirm and stop moving. Let your partner adjust and move with them. Specifically, if it's the person with the vagina. Because if they are moving, chances are they're trying to tell you something. They just don't want to verbalize it. So pay attention to the body language. Do have fun. Like, aim to do the things that both of you enjoy. And what that means sometimes is you might be doing something for your partner that you don't enjoy as much, but it doesn't pain you to do it. Like, for instance, I don't really care for feet, but if my partner loves sucking my toes and worshiping my feet, I'm going to let them do it. And I'm going to enjoy it because it brings them pleasure. And I do love my feet rubbed. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes it means just meeting your partner in the middle and giving them time to enjoy something that they really want to experience. And then once they've had their turn, now it's your turn to experience something that you really want to do. So if you look at sex as a playful moment and not something where it's a serious goal of getting to an orgasm, then you'll have so much more fun in your sex. Don't judge each other. So even though you're both in the same room and you're having an experience, you're having different experiences internally. Don't judge each other. Seek to understand each other and to remain connected, because your ultimate goal together is pleasure. That's the main thing. Whether it ends up in an orgasm or not, it's about pleasure and connection. Don't freak out if your body does not respond the way that you want it to. Sometimes you have the desire for sex and your body is just not functioning in the way that's supporting having sex. And I mean penetrative sex. So if there's a loss of an erection, or if the vagina dries up and, you know, things are just not clicking, then in a moment, think of other things that you can do that still feel good to your body that doesn't involve penetration. Don't allow the lack of penetration to stop that moment of connection and wanting to get your freak on. Like, there's so many other things you can do that don't involve penis in vagina. Don't get too drunk. So listen, no judgment to anybody that gets drunk and has sex. And this, I have to say this because this is true. If a person is drunk, you can't consent to what's happening there because you don't know what's going on. So if you are inebriated to the point of being out of your mind and you have moments of blacking out, or period. If you're drunk, you can't consent to what's going on. And you want to be as safe as possible. So I'm not here to judge anybody that get drunk and have drunk sex. And I am here to advocate for consent. And I have to mention that drunk sex is not consensual sex. And I've definitely been on the end of being drunk and having sex and it wasn't consensual. You know, waking up and seeing like dick in my face, like, wait, hold on. What's happening here? And having to stop that. And thankfully the person was respectful enough to stop it and not continue on. So don't get too drunk. And if you do, I mean, c'est la vie. C'est la vie. I'm not here to judge. Women do get on top. Like, look.
I like the top.
Listen, Ashley, why do you like being on top? Just please Tell us.
I'll tell you why I like to be on the top, because I'm able to control and I'm able to go exactly where I need to go.
Okay. Listen. I needed her to say that, because, you know, since I'm a coach, people are going to think I'm just saying it because I want you to be part of my program. I'm saying it because it's true. She just said it before I said it. You are in control. You get to be on it as long as you want. You control when they come and when they don't come. A skilled rider knows the moment, knows the moment, and can stop it. Can stop it, make that shit go down, hop off it, suck it, look at it, jump back on it, and keep it going and be on it as long as she wants. She can control that dick and she controls her own orgasms. And baby, get on top, stuff. Stop playing. I love the moment, like, because I be keeping eye contact. Yes, baby. Because I want you to know. I need you to know. I snatch your soul. I put that shit on you. I love when guys be like, oh, that shit you be teaching is real. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I know this is why I teach it.
What did you think? You don't, Les? You don't? You really? Wow. You really? Wow. Do get on top, ladies, and do advocate for your toys. Look, go on a pussy strike. Just go on a pussy strike. You know, I condone this, because if you
wow, she just got me with that one.
Go on a pussy strike if they don't want to bring these toys in. Because
I have a question for you. So what if it's me who don't want the toys in?
Oh, well,
I keep trying to get her to be on toys. I keep listen, trying.
If you don't want the toy, that's fine. And if a vibe is not for you, maybe another toy is. I'm saying there's so many other toys, especially if you get into kink. You know, if you get into kink, there's a whole, I mean, a blindfold is a simple one. Wrist cuffs, you know, handcuffs, little paddles. You know, fat feather dusters, you know, the little claws for your fingers. Like, there's so many toys aside from vibes. So I'm not gonna count you out yet, Ashley, and say that you don't want toys in the bedroom. You might not want a vibe, because look, a vibe can be a lot for certain clitorises. I'm just saying, like, some people don't like the feeling.
It just don't do nothing for me. It's just like, ooh. Probably because I've been on the real thing.
I feel you. Nothing to me. Because some people are totally fine with, like, you know, having sex with machines. And that's completely fine.
Let me try, like, something else then. Let me get some.
Solo sex, I'm good with the toys. But it's not going to replace the real dick. It's just not. Or pussy. It's just not going to do that. So... But I mean, you might be into something else. You just gotta be willing and open to try new things, you know?
True. I like it. So one thing, let's see. Do you agree that it seems like men our age has like their sex drive isn't as high? Like, so we're here in our 30s. And I feel like in our 30s, women, we've gotten hornier. Like, we really want sex, and it's like the men be okay with just like going 2-3 weeks, but like I'm trying to find a consistent sex partner, and it has not been working out, because I'm like, I want it at least like 3-4 times a week. Like, where is you at?
You know what it is? They're at work. They're trying to get to the bag. They are about their money. And they're running businesses, or they're running the streets doing whatever else. I don't know. But what I've seen as a trend is just that these men are at work. They're trying, at least the ones that like seem to be busy and they're having like droughts, not droughts, but like long periods of time before. Right. I mean, you know, between their sex acts. And it's like, But I be having those drafts too, I'm not gonna lie, because I be so locked into my work. And I can't, you know, here in Chicago, I can't find anybody consistent, because the one person who could be consistent, he works all the time, you know, and we're both working. So they're at work, and that's why I'm like, hey, self-care, self-sex, because if I wait on a partner, then I'm just going to be up here not using my vagina or my clit, and I don't want that to happen. But I will say, though, sucking on dildos does not replace the real thing. Okay.
It doesn't. No. No, ma'am. That's comparison with that.
Nah, but what you said, that was facts, though, because, like, I'm in my 30s, and, like, I feel like my main drive right now is about leaving behind a legacy and, you know what I'm saying, and making more money and doing this so that I can take care of my moms and I can do this and I can do that. So, honestly, that's where my mindset has been, and I'm in a relationship, so.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, everybody, and then the pandemic made it worse, you know?
Yes.
Because it shut down so much, and so we think about it, we're in pandemic fatigue, we're coming out of it, and so for a lot of us, it's still very much so focused on work, because we want to make sure financially we're in a space that we can take care of ourselves and people that we love. Because who knows if it's going to be another lockdown at any moment. It's like you got to.
It's like you never know what tomorrow holds.
Exactly. So, and I did see some studies out there that said that, you know, people are having sex less and getting married less as well. And like people are having longer time between their sexual experiences. And I'm like, well, shit. I can attest to that, because there was a day when I would have like 3 dick appointments in a week, and now I'm like, you know, it's once a month now. Hey, girl. What happened?
What the fuck? I don't like it here. I don't like
the pandemic happened.
And wow.
Okay, I got a question. Another question, if you don't mind. I have a couple of friends that's married, and honestly, the females are complaining. They're saying that their men don't want to fuck them, or they're not, you know what I'm saying, are not as ready to have sex as they are. And of course, you know, sometimes the mind can go in different places. What do you say about situations like that? How would someone bring the spark back into the bedroom?
Well, we'll first start with what are the stressors? Because, you know, if we're talking about Black people, like, we live under a certain amount of stress just being Black in America. So there's that. And then, you know, a Black man in America, especially after all the recent events with all the Black men who have been getting, you know, killed unjustly at the hands of law enforcement. And, you know, it's a lot going on with Black men in America now. So that stress, and then that added stress of being a provider, you know, during the pandemic. So there is a lot of things mentally and just socially and environmentally that are impacting Black men right now. And so first, exercising patience and realizing just that in general, and then having a conversation about what's going on and what's needed to show support in order for him to feel less pressure from that stress to be able to show up for you sexually. Because when a man has all this on his mind, an erection, what? Fuck that. He's under so much stress that his body is in an anxious state. So the body's like, let's keep your vital organs functioning because you're stressed. And he might not exhibit it in his emotions or in his everyday actions, but you see it in the bedroom, because the body is like, fuck your libido. We trying to keep your brain functioning and your heart and your vital organs that's keeping you alive.
Gotcha.
Your erection can wait. So we don't think about that, just how much stress we live under as Black people in America, and how that can impact mental and emotional health. And then, you know, what other responsibilities does this man have? And then also just, where is he sexually? Like, is he feeling himself? Does he feel sexy? Does he feel attractive to you? Does you know, do you show that you desire him? Has he been feeling appreciated? That's a big one that we overlook. Has he been feeling appreciated, or does he just feel like he's just here to bring in the money, be the provider, and be the dick?
But you know what? I feel like that's something that we as women look over a lot, though. It's always, I feel like a lot of us are always like me, instead of, you know, seeing what our partner wants or what their needs are and different things like that.
You're right about that. And we don't talk about it enough. And it's crazy because what I hate, and I'm so happy y'all are having this conversation, because in the podcast world, people be saying anything for clout and it pisses me off so much. And like, it creates so much division between black men and women. And I feel like we need to be speaking more love, because there are still black marriages. We see them all the time on Instagram. Like, I purposely follow pages that uplift black marriage, because I'm like, there's a whole other side of things where it seems like there aren't black families, but there are. Mm-hmm. And as much as we are black queens, we got to remember we got some kings. If you a queen, you got a king. And this man is literally going through stuff that he doesn't even speak to you about, because culturally he has been taught not to speak about it and just to hold it. And I know you want him to hold you up and fuck the shit out of you, but he can't do that if you can't hold him up mentally and like be his peace and just help him feel safe. Because he has to feel safe too, just to be vulnerable emotionally. And yes. So to cater to that man too means to help him unpack and unload some of the stresses of the day if you want him to show up for you sexually. And it does not mean taking on his shit. It means just being a support system. And I want to get that clear, because I don't want nobody dragging me being like, that's not what I said. Listen to what I said.
You're not taking no shit. You're just saying.
No, we're not taking no shit. We are being supportive and being a listening ear and holding compassionate space and showing up for them how they need to be supported in the moment, because you're not their therapist. You're not their mama. You're not none of that. Mm-hmm. You are a support system. The best thing you can do is ask, how can I support you right now? What do you need from me in this moment? Mm. And that is one of the most powerful questions you can ever ask your partner, because in that moment, they actually feel seen by you and they feel that you really have them. And I guarantee you, they have not heard that phrase often. Mm. Because especially a black man, ain't nobody asking that man that.
No, hell no. You know they aren't.
No. Like that. So, and you know, yes, black women too, we need that question too, you know, but there is very much a heavy emphasis on black women, and I love it. And you want that black man to fuck the shit out of you? Support that man.
I love it. Okay. Okay, so how would you suggest that someone express to a man their sexual desires and needs without emasculating them?
Oh, I love this. Sexual communication is important, y'all. And the first rule of sexual communication is speak without judgment and speak with compassion. So speaking without judgment means you are not blaming them for your lack of enjoyment. Mm. You are simply, and this is like practicing nonviolent communication. It's simply making an observation of something and then giving a solution for how your needs can be met. So for instance, you know, let's say your partner's head game ain't really it, because you need a little more suction than flicking of a tongue. Instead of being like, your head game is trash. You know, like just
or blowing in his ear.
right. Just say, you know, can you suck on it more? Now this would be like in the action. Can you suck on it more? Or, you know, after the fact, it's, you know, I really love when you eat me out, but I like more suction than I do flicking. So next time you go down on me, I want to feel your lips sucking on my clit more than licking on it.
Mm. Okay.
Giving instructions.
She made that sound hot. She made that sound
hot. No, you really did. Like, I was just about to say that. I was like, you made that sound hot. My face, very, I was like,
okay. Yeah, giving more instructions. And see, look, not once did I judge my partner and say that they were doing something wrong. I first affirmed that I enjoy the act and then gave an instruction on how I would like to experience it better. Mm-hmm. So it's this over that.
Mm, right, okay.
And instead of this, instead of that, because I don't want my partner to believe that flicking is wrong. It's not. It's just I enjoy suction more than the flicking.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So knowing how to phrase things and how to bring them to your partner is key. And when it comes to expressing your desires, it's also coming to them with like this curiosity where you also want them to enjoy that thing with you. So it's like, you know, sex with you is great. What do you think about adding a third person? Because I love the idea of you watching me get my pussy ate. You know, you present the thing, and then you also present why it would feel good to you or why you would want to experience it. Mm. And if you include your partner in on the experience, now they don't feel left out, and also they can see it with you. And sometimes though, the fantasies you may have may not involve your partner being active. It may involve them just watching or being there to witness it, but that's still participation. Mm-hmm. Them being a voyeur is still participation because you're consenting to them watching you. So if you can present your desires in that way, then it makes your partner feel less threatened, and it also still makes them feel desired. Because sometimes, like when we express the things that we want to experience, our partners will think something's wrong with them, or like they're not doing something right, or like they're not enough. Mm-hmm. And so when you affirm that they are enough and you just want to turn up the heat and try something more with them, then it's like, oh, okay. And sometimes, you know, the things that you might express, like things that turn you on, they might not actually enjoy the same thing, or they might not be into it. But creating a space where it's safe enough for you to express those things, because you do have your own individual sexuality outside of your partner, and that's where the solo sex comes in. So when you masturbate, you know, you're having sex with yourself and you're engaging in things that you're into, specifically like the content that you watch, the adult content or porn or whatever medium you're using to arouse yourself. Like, mm-hmm. That's your moment to have your thing that maybe your partner isn't into. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's just all about knowing how to communicate in a way that still makes your partner feel like, okay, we in this together.
Yes, I like that. Great advice. I like that. Okay, so I do want to end it with, you had something first before I do the last?
It was going to be like real quick, like what fruits or food would you say helps to stimulate you in a sexual way?
Oh, aphrodisiacs.
Yes. So here is a trick. Any fruit or vegetable that looks like a genital or your genitals or reproductive parts is an aphrodisiac. So those fruits and vegetables are the ones that you want to incorporate more into your diet. My favorites are berries, blackberries, raspberries, strawberries. And, you know, because like strawberries are ovaries.
Right.
You know, autumn seeds.
I never thought about it like that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your strawberries are your ovaries.
And we put whipped cream and chocolate on them things, you know, because, and we say they're aphrodisiac. Why? Because they're filled with seeds. They're filled with life. And then too, if you're into color therapy, like foods of certain colors. So like a red foods correlate with your root chakra, your sex chakra, you know? Mm-hmm. So red foods, bananas, they look like dicks. Cucumbers, they look like dicks. So and you know, the easiest way to incorporate these foods is in a smoothie. If you do a daily smoothie, put some greens up in there. Helps with the libido. And add coconut water because the electrolytes are good for you and the potassium. All of the vitamins and nutrients in coconut water, so good for your skin, for your hydration. So,
I love me some coconut water. I've been sleeping on it for a while, but... Listen, I'm going to the grocery store tonight. What time is it?
Okay, let me add it to my Instacart.
Hey, Whole Foods has this coconut water in a can. It's like $1.99. And it's like the original coconut water. It is so good. And
the one that has like the island? It looks like a whole island on the can?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the one that I cook with that one.
I love that coconut water. And it's so cheap because, you know, Whole Foods be taxing.
Right.
They do. Really do.
Okay. So for my final question to you.
Okay.
Can you please share with us the best mind-blowing sex that you have ever had? The whole story, situation by situation, with what happened, girl.
Okay. So this happened recently, 2021. Oof. I went on a vacation. I went on a vacation with my best friend. We've known each other for like 16 years. And he's from Jamaica. He wanted to take me back there. So we went and we were at this resort. It's beautiful. And this day was like really hot. So we decided to go swimming in the ocean. This was our first time swimming in the ocean because we had been in the pool. And we were both, you know, we're out there. And so I jumped up and put my legs around his waist because we were in the water to the point where it was up to like his shoulders. And he's 6'2", so, and I'm 5'10". So I was like, all right, let me jump up on you real quick.
Right.
And so we started talking and he said he had never had sex in the ocean. And I was like, what? Me neither.
Oh, shit. In the ocean.
In the ocean, yes. And so... we waited until some people kind of like left out of the water. And then, you know, my swimsuit was like shifting under the water anyway. So he just shifted it to the side. And, you know, he's well endowed. So it was very easy to reach. And so we were in the water, just like letting the water like push us together and move us apart. And no one could tell we was having sex because our bodies were underwater. We was just buoyed. We was like buoys just going through the water, but we was fucking.
Oh my God.
And the sun was beaming on my crown, like right here. And I felt the orgasm rising and I was like, don't stop. And I reached the peak and the sun was beaming into my crown and my whole body just lit up and like the orgasm went through the top of my head. Damn. And my entire body was on fire and I was like, oh my fucking God, I had the best nap after that. It felt like I reset my soul. I was like, whew.
Oh my God.
I feel like I just felt it though.
And when you say you was there again, you was in Jamaica.
I was in Jamaica, yeah.
Jamaica, I love you.
You're gonna book me a flight.
I was like, thank you, ancestors. You needed that.
So that's good to know because I thought they said something about like the salt water, like so that didn't affect anything going on. Okay.
No, it didn't affect my pH at all. And that's what I was afraid of at first, but I was like, go with God. This is nature. I was like, if anything, you know, there's antibiotics waiting at home. It's fine. Like,
enjoy the moment.
Enjoy the moment. Okay. So yeah, at that, oh my God, I left Jamaica glowing. I was like, ooh, I need more vacations like this.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. And that was y'all first time having sex, you and the best friend.
No.
Oh, okay.
It was not, but it was our first time having sex in the ocean.
Okay.
Together and period. So it was a memorable moment.
Right. Okay. That's dope.
I don't really be getting in the ocean like that. Like, unless it's like island vibes where the water is low and really clear. Mm-hmm. I don't really like getting in the water.
Either. Yeah. I need to see through that thing. What's in there?
Just being honest. In the Maldives, I was all in the water. I was like, yes, I can see.
Yes.
Miami, no.
Yeah.
I don't know what's floating in the Miami water.
Yeah, you don't know what's floating in there.
I'm not in the water in Miami.
Nope.
Matter of fact, I ain't gonna even hold you. I don't even be on the beach in Miami.
Oh, damn.
I like to go really far up, like in the 40s on Miami Beach.
North
Miami, because the beaches be clean. Yeah.
It do.
Like, I don't like going where all the tourists go. When I go to Miami in a few weeks, I'm going to Haul Over Beach.
That's what I was just about to say.
Wait a minute.
That is my spot.
When are you going? We going too.
Oh, yeah, I'm going. I'm going the 15th of April.
Oh, we going the 8th. The 8th.
I will be in Atlanta tomorrow.
No, look.
Oh, for real? Man, pull up. What you?
How long are you going to be
time for? Until Saturday.
No,
we should link up and have drinks.
Yes,
I'm with it. Just let me know where.
Okay, perfect.
Well, listen, I was about to say, I'm trying to get money bags at Haul Over Beach, because ever since I've been going there, right? So I experienced it the first time, maybe like two and a half, three years ago. It was before COVID, so maybe like three, four. And at first I was nervous because I thought it was just going to be like a whole bunch of sexual vibes. But honestly, when I was out there, it was so freeing. And everybody was just so like free and it, like dick, pussy, breast. It was beautiful. I'm
surprised.
Now that is my favorite place to go because everybody's so chill.
I've been to a nude beach in Jersey, in Kissimmee, Florida. In San Diego at Black's Beach, and up in Vancouver. So I try to go to new beaches wherever I'm at. But I've been to Miami dozens of times, and I have not been to Haul Over Beach. But I'm going in a few weeks.
You're gonna like it. You'll like it.
I can't wait.
They gonna pop my cherry because they supposed
to
pop
her cherry.
It's bring a cooler, have some drinks, have your little blanket and umbrella, and just. Be butt-ass naked.
Okay. I've never been to a nude beach.
Me either.
You gotta go. So I used to write for ebony.com, and I wrote about my first nude beach experience for their website. I took a friend with me. We had went to Black's Beach in San Diego, and it was the most freeing experience. Because this man is a black man. He had never been on the beach before. Nude, or a matter of fact, just haven't had so many people see him in that light, and like to see people were not judging him or like even caring. He was like, wow, this is so freeing. So I think every black person should go to a nude beach, especially like if you can go to the one in Jersey in Gunnison. Oh my god, because there's so many black people there.
Right, because that's what I'd be afraid of. Like, you don't see all the white, old, wrinkled bitch and shit.
I mean, yes, that. But I'm telling you, you go to Gunnison in Jersey, the new beach is so many black people that go there. It's amazing.
Okay.
Shout out to all my nudists out there. Yes.
I'm trying to be as free as I can. I'm still getting that. Sometimes I can be a lot more reserved. I'm a big ass flirt. I'm a tease. I'll stimulate you a lot, but then like when it gets down to it, I'll be like, wait, give me a minute.
And that's okay. Everybody has their thing. That just may be your personality. You might just be a tease, and that's okay to be. Play that up. Play with that. You know what I mean? Because there is nothing wrong with that. And I always tell people, like, just because something exists doesn't mean it's for you. Like, once you know what your personality is and your erotic expression is, then you just sit in that and you sit with that and you're comfortable with it. And then you also allow yourself to grow. You know, like what I was into 4 years ago is not what I'm into now.
Right.
You know, and I'm evolving every single day. So I give myself that grace to just expand and, you know, I try not to be so binary and also not to judge the fact, you know, the fact that you get bashful sometimes at the full thing. It's like, it's the lead up for you. Cause I'm a tease too. Shit. Right. I love that shit.
Okay. I love it. I love that lead up.
The lead up be it is.
Dude.
Sometimes I'm like, shh, shh, shh. Don't worry about it. This is it. I'll see you next time.
I love it. Oh my God.
I'll be fucking people up. That part.
They really think they about to get that. Listen. Okay, so to end this all, do you have any, like, anything that you want to, like, close out with? It may be a tip. It may be just, like, a little advice or whatever before we close out and wrap up.
My advice to every Black person listening, and even if you're not Black, this is for you too. Get tested. And also start normalizing hiring sex coaches and sex experts, because if you go to the doctor, if you go to any expert for anything that's going to enhance your life, why not pay somebody who literally studies sexuality to help you understand yourself more and to experience more sexual pleasure with yourself and with your partner or partners? Mm-hmm. An S. So, and also no shame in how you show up. No shame in how you identify. There is no standard. You set the standard for yourself and you explore that and you find your tribe and the people who rock with you in that same way. And you live your life. That's it. That's all, y'all. Drop the mic.
Drop the mic, y'all. This was great. Thank you so much for coming on our podcast.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Knowledge. Yes, truly appreciate it. Y'all make sure y'all check her out. She dropped her info. We're also going to put it in the bio, so look out for that. We'll tag her as well. And y'all know the spiel. Make sure y'all following us as well. Share it with your friends. Share the podcast. Tag us, you know, your favorite parts and whatnot.
Retweet. Put it on TikTok.
All of that. All of it. We appreciate y'all. Until next time, you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Face down, ass up, waiting for me. I'ma show you pretty ass up that you'll never see. Don't be scared, let your head down, give your body all it needs, yeah. Just give it to me, baby, yeah. And we don't see how we make love on the street. Take this ride to Pluto, we're finessing like Bruno. Give you this love that you want, make it last all night, cause you know.
No,
cause you know it's gonna be a bumpy ride. Now we're here, take over, show me how bad you wanna. Give me that love that I want, gotta keep me craving it.